Avi and his out-of-town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Program number 162 in that continuing series. Yes, you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2 on your HD2 radio dial, and 107.7 FM, now on your FM dial. Your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota. We're at 71 degrees here in Central Minnesota, 13 before 12 noon. Right now, overcast skies, although the sun is peeking through on occasion. And nice morning for all of the local festivals going on. We've got our guest on the line right now. We have Mr. Ted Lang on the phone, and we're going to bring Ted in right now. Good morning, Ted. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Not bad. And you're new to the Chasm airwaves, Ted, being all the way from the state of Ohio. But I think you're in Minnesota right now, huh?
We are. We actually performed last night in, actually yesterday and Friday, in New Ulm, Minnesota at the Bavarian Blast Festival. And we're on the road today as we head down to kind of southeastern Minnesota in the Lanesboro area. We're performing in a town called Peterson, Minnesota this afternoon from 5 until 7. So always on the go.
All right. And when you say we is who? The Squeezebox Band?
Yep, with Squeezebox. So it's Molly and I and our drummer Dana Lynn Blad on the road and just in fact, making our way towards lunch.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, we've had Molly on the program a couple of times, but we've not heard your side of the Squeezebox edition. So we're a little bit anxious. I've heard all sorts of things of you, that you played with Marv Herzog and all sorts of bands. Why don't you take us back to how it all began, Ted? How'd you get started? You play the accordion, right?
Yes, well, I play the accordion, and but I actually started on drums.
Really?
I was a drummer first,
uh-huh.
And my parents had a band while I was growing up in Northwest Ohio, and so I started with them just before I turned 5, kind of sitting in and playing with them, and then started filling in with local bands in Northwest Ohio until when I was 17 years old, I started playing full-time with Marv Herzog from Frankenmuth, Michigan. And Marv traveled extensively through the U.S. all the way out to Colorado, down to Texas, out to the East Coast, and pretty much everywhere in between. And I know that, you know, in years past, he used to play at the Gibbon Polka Festival. And I know he'd make a couple trips up to Minnesota throughout the year. So I played with Marv for a couple years. And then after that, I started with a band called Toledo Polka Motion, which was a Polish-style band out of Toledo, Ohio. And they also traveled extensively. They had been nominated for a Grammy Award, and and then once I started playing with Toledo Polka Motion, I just started getting a lot of phone calls from different bands, so I would fill in with just about anybody and everybody, and so I stayed busy, and I've been pretty much a full-time musician now for about the last 10 years, doing some side things, but primarily the goal has always been playing music full-time.
Oh, that's wonderful. So are you self-taught, or did you take lessons to get started? How'd you get going?
Well, you know, my parents made me take piano lessons when I was 5, and I despised it, frankly. I hated practicing.
Typical 5-year-old, okay.
Yes, and, but I was fortunately blessed with a gift, of being able to pick things up quickly, and I have a unique musical ear that, things just come easily to me when it comes to music stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of how it all began. And it wasn't until my sophomore year in high school when my mom had some student accordions, because my mom was an accordionist. So I found one of those up in the attic, pulled it out, and more or less kind of with the piano background from the piano lessons, I kind of figured out how to play the rest of it. In fact, I think it was my sophomore year in high school, our high school band did a polka halftime show, the marching band did, and I stood on the 50-yard line and played the accordion to a medley of polkas while the rest of the marching band danced around on the field.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so awesome. You bet. Well, you mentioned that you were with Marv for a couple of years. Were you on any of his recordings?
I was actually, the only recording I was on with Marv was a recording that was called, that's been a while ago. I don't even recall right now. It was a TV taping for the ZDF Channel 2 in Germany. And they did a big production in Frankenmuth, Michigan, where they brought over all of these stars from Germany that performed, and Marv Herzog and also Myron Florin. We were a couple of the American artists invited to perform. And then this was broadcast and viewed by 20 million people in Germany. Oh, and to this day, if you stay at the Bavarian Inn in Frankenmuth, Michigan, on one of the channels, this program plays continuously for 24 hours. So needless to say, when I'm in Frankenmuth area, people will come up and say, wow, we just watched you on TV at the hotel. Of course, I was a little bit skinnier back then, but I was, you know, all of 18 years old at the time.
Oh, sure. Okay. What was it like being with Marv and the band? I mean, you said you traveled a lot. Marv himself was an accordion player, so that was one of the unique things. Back then already, he traveled with two accordions. And what was your capacity then? You were a lead or a backup? Or
I was kind of a fill accordion and sang a lot of harmony vocals. And so then in addition to Marv and myself on accordion, then he also had a guitar player who played more of a country, a country style guitar and adding fills and licks and that kind of thing. And then a drummer. So we were just four piece. And then Marv's wife, Teresa, would come up and sing a couple songs throughout the course of the evening.
Sure.
But Marv had many different variations through the years, but he always kind of leaned towards more of a country-ish sound by incorporating the guitars. Now, there was periods of time where he had people such as like Dan Wittecke played with Marv for a couple years. And the Polish kid from Michigan also played with Marv for several years. So he had different instrumentation throughout the years, but it was always based with the cordovox that Marv played and a guitar, and then either another guitar or another accordion or a concertina.
And from what I've heard from other musicians, he was a real gentleman. He was a good guy to work for.
Oh, yeah. Marv was great. He had a big heart, and he had a natural charisma and a quick wit, and he could tell stories with the best of them, but he was one just genuinely nice man, and that was my experience with him. A great band leader, a nice guy, very knowledgeable, knew a lot of people. There was very seldom we'd play somewhere where he couldn't just about name everybody in the crowd by name, because he was just a people person like that.
That's awesome. You bet. And so then moving fast forward, like you mentioned, the other bands, and then all of a sudden you wind up with a band called Squeezebox. So did you originate the band, or you and Molly, or how did that all happen then?
Well, actually, you know, Squeezebox became, actually started as a band called the Bratwurst Boys back in the late 1990s.
Oh, okay.
And it was a kind of a spinoff band from Toledo Polka Motion. We had some weekends where we didn't have jobs booked for the Polish-style group. We thought it'd be interesting to play some Oktoberfest and some German dance halls and that kind of thing. So we started this band called the Bratwurst Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went by and the members evolved throughout the band, I had a gig booked on New Year's Eve, and I believe it was 10 years ago or so. And I had met Molly a couple years before that. She wasn't playing on New Year's Eve, so I said, well, why don't you bring your horns out to Ohio and just sit in and play the gig with me? And so that was our first job, was on New Year's Eve. And it worked so well that as time went by, we started, you know, playing more jobs. And, you know, of course, the standing joke was, well, Molly's not a Bratwurst Boy, so we changed the name then to something that we thought would, not pigeonhole us into being just German or just Czech or just Polish, because we play a variety of music. You know, we do vocals in English, Czech, German, and Polish, and we play songs from all the different nationalities, you know, Slovenian tunes, Ukrainian tunes, German, Czech, American stuff, you know, two steps and big band and swing. We've got a playlist of over 800 songs, and so as time went by, we settled on the name Squeezebox, and from that time forward, it seemed like our engagements pretty much doubled every year, from playing, you know, 10 jobs the first year to 25, then it went to 50, then it went to over 100, And, you know, in this day and age, we're doing about 80 to 100 jobs a year at Squeezebox with Molly and I. And then in addition to that, Molly and I both fill in with other bands. Molly fills in with her dad's band, the Jim Busta Band, and other bands in the area when she has availability. And I also do the same, filling with bands like John Gora and Gorale or the Diner Brass or the Polka Family, even occasionally with Jim Busta, with Carl Hartwick, with Gary Brigham. It's just kind of whoever calls on whichever particular date or weekend. And so we stay really busy performing throughout the course of the year.
I can see that. Boy. Now, still a lot of ballrooms and what would you call it, places to work and play at in your area, or are they declining as they are up here in central Minnesota?
They're declining all over.
There
really isn't anywhere that you go in the U.S. where you see that the dance halls are still thriving. There are certainly some dance halls that are still doing well. They're holding their own. But it seems in this day and age, you know, the weekly dances are starting to kind of fall by the wayside. And fortunately, though, there have been other venues that are opening and, you know, to polka music, such as different festivals. And you know, it's never going to be like it was, you know, probably 30, 40 years ago, as much as we could hope and wish that it would be, or even 50 years ago or more. But we just really try to make sure that we're doing all we can to get into as many venues as we can. You know, and it doesn't matter if it's just a polka venue. If it's a music festival, if we can get into a music festival and perform there and show people, you know, how much fun polka music is, and that there really, you know, there really is something for everyone with all the different stuff that we play. You know, we stay really busy. We're in very high demand, and you know, where I grew up in Northwest Ohio, it was a area where every weekend, from the end of May all the way through the end of August, every little town in our area had a polka festival on a different weekend. So it was every weekend playing and traveling to all these local festivals. And, of course, a lot of those have dried up as the polka scene has changed. You know, we still see a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of excitement from the people that do come out. And obviously we've worked hard to create a name for ourselves and establish that we're kind of a band that can play something for everyone.
Oh, neat. I got to ask you, Ted, have you ever had the opportunity to play at the Medina Ballroom in Hamel, Minnesota?
Not in Hamel. I played the Medina Ballroom or the ballroom in Medina, Minnesota, but never the one in Hamel.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Medina, sometimes they call it Hamel, Minnesota. I think the towns are neighboring or something. But so you have played that ballroom?
Oh yeah, we did. We played there for the last two Molly B Polka Party tapings that took place there.
Okay. Well, did I just receive word this morning? And I'm not sure if you've heard, but the owner there, Bob Raskob, that he just passed away.
Oh, I had not heard that.
No, yeah, I think he was like
Bob was an avid polka supporter and just loved the music. And even as his health deteriorated here over the course of the last couple years, even when we did the tapings, he always made sure that he was there and kind of perched in his spot in the corner and watching the music. And I know he just absolutely loved and supported polka music every way that he possibly could.
Well, I was sad to hear it this morning because I've never met Bob personally. I've been to the ballroom myself, played there over the years, but I've never really had the opportunity to meet Bob. And he was on my bucket list, you might say, of people to interview. I wanted to get him on the program, and I guess I didn't realize that he was of the age that he was. I just, you know, you just kind of think that they're going to be around forever. And I was sure shocked to hear when a listener called me this morning telling me that he had passed on, so...
Well, we had not heard that, but we'll definitely be keeping his family in their prayers.
Condolences,
been, you know, really
you
nice
bet.
People to us.
You bet. Well, Ted, if we can ask you to stand by and hold that thought for a moment there. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. It's time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back with you and close out the show.
Sounds great.
All right, Ted. So, the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats, award-winning sausages, reminding you of the many services the St. Joe Meat Market still offers. We still butcher beef and hogs every Monday by appointment. Quarters and halves of beef and whole and half hogs, completely processed to your specifications, are always available. We make sausage on Wednesdays and Fridays of every week, And we can turn your clean and boneless fresh or frozen domestic or wild game trimmings into any number of delicious jerky, snack sticks, and or sausage items, usually complete and ready for pickup for your freezer within a week's time. We do custom curing of your hams, bacons, and turkeys. Our retail store is a wonderland of fresh meats and smoked sausages, cheeses, salads, meat and cheese trays, and the list goes on. We still maintain that full service meat counter where you can still always see both sides of a roast or steak. No surprises when you get home and open that package. Our professional and friendly staff always there to take your order and assist you in any way. The brat of the week this week is another very popular brat, the smoked maple with wild rice brat. Stock up with plenty when friends and family drop by. As always, take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long in limited quantities. Always more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, so like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. And Ted, for being our guest on the program, and you might know how this works because Molly's been on the program a couple times, so the meat market, along with Chasm, we put up a nice meat package, get that out to you, send that out to you, priority mail, and hope that you and those around you enjoy it in good health. How's that for you?
That sounds wonderful. You were working up my appetite here as you were talking about all the stuff they have available. So well, I look forward to that.
You've been known to indulge in a brat or so over the years?
Oh, once or twice I may have tried some brats and some jerky and some beef sticks, and the list goes on and on.
Sure, there you go. Well, very good. Well, we were talking about dance halls. Bob, of course, passing away from Medina. Mention some of the other ballrooms that have impressed you over the years that you've performed at, some of the really gala ballrooms.
Well, you know, there was a place in Iowa in the Inwood Ballroom, I believe is what it was, in Spillville, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
You know, I remember years ago also playing at the old Bell Ray Ballroom
yes.
in Moundsview.
Yes.
And that was a huge place. I love the old ballrooms and the history that they have. Years ago, we used to play at a place in Barnesville, Pennsylvania, and it's kind of set out in a rural area, and they used to have a lake out behind it, and that was the place to go back in the 40s and the 50s and 60s, and they would have, you know, the Glenn Miller Orchestra and Tommy Dorsey and all those big bands, and they say, you know, that it was just a sea of cars and just an unbelievable amount of people. So I love any of those old ballrooms like that, you know, so the Barnesville one, Spillville is similar with their kind of unique design dance floor that they've got there in Iowa. You know, the Bell Ray was also a kind of a historical place for me with all the events that they've had there. Unfortunately, I've not been able to be to as many ballrooms as what I'd like to, but one of the ones I am looking forward to, I did want to mention this, that we're going to be in Glencoe at the Playmore Ballroom coming up in August, the first weekend in August. POLK of A, they have their music festival there. And with all the folks that were planning on coming in to attend the Motley Bee Polka Party taping, after that got canceled, we decided, you know, we didn't want these people to be stranded. We wanted to encourage them to come and support another polka event. So we will be performing there on Friday from 5 until 7 before Matt Hodek performs then from 7 to 11. We'll also be there on Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 12 noon. And then in the afternoon, music by Gary's Ridgeland Dutchman and the Leon Olson Show. So that's in Glencoe, Minnesota, coming up the first weekend in August. And then we're also going to be at Stiftungsfest in Norwood, Young America. That's also coming up in August. It's Minnesota's oldest German celebration. And so anyways, kind of get off topic there, but Playmore Ballroom is one I've not been to yet, and I'd like to looking forward to checking that out in a couple weeks.
Well, that's a great ballroom. I've been there many times. I've performed there as well, and always enjoyed the Playmore at Glencoe. I thought it was ironic, you know, you mentioned the Bell Ray, and of course that's no longer there. That was in New Brighton, Minnesota, but Tony Jamber owned that one for a good number of years, and he just passed away this year too as well. So
yes. Yeah, it's kind of sad how we're losing a lot of the greats, not only in the music industry as far as the musicians that we've followed and grown up to and loved for years, but also a lot of the proprietors and folks who put on dances and festivals and ran these dance halls. So it's really imperative that, you know, the folks that are listening, if you're able to go out and attend a polka dance, certainly we hope you'll tune in and listen to the radio shows and the TV shows that are on. But the thing that can really help this music the most is by bringing your kids and bringing your grandkids, if you've got them, and actually attending a dance somewhere or a festival out there and show your support for this music, because that's the way that this music can continue to grow and thrive.
Absolutely. You bet. I'm going to spend just a moment, Ted, talking about your recordings. You have two of them with Squeezebox.
That's correct. With Squeezebox, our first recording is called Squeeze Me, and our second recording is called Freshly Squeezed. And they feature a variety of music, vocals in English, German, Czech, and Polish. We also have some two-steps on there, some foxtrots. We have a song on our Freshly Squeezed CD that people love that's called I Just Don't Look Good Naked Anymore, kind of a, a comedic song, if you will. And we have all of those available on our website if you visit squeezeboxband.com. Again, that's www.squeezeboxband.com. We have all of our recordings available there. Or if that's too much to remember, too many letters, you can also visit mollyb.com. That's M-O-L-L-I-E, and then the letter B.com. And on Molly's website, she also has our recordings as well as her own recordings available. So those are two places to find out more about us online. And, of course, our schedules are available on there, our list of public appearances, some information about the band. We've got T-shirts, we've got towels, a whole variety of stuff. So we hope you'll check it out when you have a chance.
Absolutely. And I'm very, very thrilled that you guys keep me in the loop. I've gotten recordings through Molly or through you. So we always have the music available on sizemusic.com as well. So that's great. Got a couple of quick questions for you, Ted. First of all,
sure.
Favorite song to play. Do you have one? One that really kind of trips your trigger, a polka, waltz, or instrumental, two-step, or what? If you grab the accordion, what's the first thing that comes out of it?
Noise.
Okay.
Uh-huh. No, actual songs, boy, I don't know if I have a particular favorite. I've got a whole list of favorites, but we'd be on here way too long to go through that.
Okay.
I love some of the good old-time instrumental polkas.
Okay.
Those are things I like springtime polka and those type of things, more of the traditional things.
Is there anyone out there, I ask a number of musicians, especially concertina or accordion players, because you're usually featured on the solos, is there any one song that you always dread that comes up and is like, that just kicks my butt, how can I get through this one? Maybe not so much now, but back in the day, did you have a tough time with one?
Wow. Speaking of springtime, with a band I used to play with, there was an accordion solo that was written for the song that was a little more, a little bit tougher. And that was one of them that I would kind of clench up and be a little bit nervous before we get to it. But, in time, you work through all that.
You work it through, you bet. Talk about some of the players that might have influenced you over the years. You get to see Frankie Yankovic or Myron Florin or any of those big name accordion players?
Yes, I did. I actually met Frankie. We played in the old East End of Cleveland for a street festival, and that was my one opportunity where I met Frank, and it was right at the within the last couple years before he passed away.
Uh-huh.
I did have the opportunity to play with Myron Florin, though, in Frankenmuth. We backed him up when I played with Marv Herzog and had an opportunity to spend some time and talk to him, and I tell you what, Myron Florin was one of the most genuine, decent guys you'll ever meet. Just a pleasant man, obviously a phenomenal accordionist, but my other, other influences, I really listen to a lot of music. So I like Polish style. I like Slovenian style. I like Dutchman style. I like good Czech music. And there are certainly guys in every genre that,
Excel.
You try to pick up a little something from, and that's people like Carl Hartwick and Gary Brigham, and some of the stuff Myron Florin used to do. Some guys like Al Pietkowski, who's played with Jimmy Sturr Orchestra, and John Zelasko, and Richie Bernier, who was used to play with a band called the New Brass out in Massachusetts from years ago. Slovenian style accordion players such as Gaylord Clannick. Joey Miskelin is one of the greatest I've ever had the opportunity to see and play along with. So there's a whole list of them that are out there, and I'd be remiss if I said that those were all of them, because there's many more than that. I really, really enjoy all the polka music across the board.
Absolutely. Well, the last question before we let you go, Ted, and I usually ask everybody this too, is there a memory, an event, anything that stands out over your career that's good, bad, or otherwise that's memorable for you that you might share with the listeners?
I think that one of the most touching things that I've ever been a part of musically in all my years of performing was at the Christmas special, the Molly B. Christmas special, which we did in Branson, Missouri back several years ago. And it was the first year that she sang Ave Maria.
Oh, yes.
And boy, oh boy, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, you better check for a pulse.
Yeah.
Because it really, and it's still to this day, the one song and the way that she does it, the way that she sings it to this day, I still find myself getting choked up at some point in that song almost every time.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So, to me, that one is one of the most memorable ones.
Well, that's very good. Well, our time has about run out, but, Ted, we want to take this opportunity to thank you very specially for taking time out on your day today and joining us here on our Musicians Come and Play program. And I've told everyone so far, the good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road again sometime. We'll do it again. How's that?
I look forward to it, absolutely.
Well, very good. So I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment, but with that, we're going to let you run. You guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, right. Everybody.
And there he goes, Mr. Ted Lang of Squeezebox. And joining us, our 162nd guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on Chasm.